Praise the Lord. Now, I'd also like to mention that tomorrow afternoon and on into the evening, whatever it takes, we're going to process the newsletters. And I folded close to 20,000 pages today through the folding machine, and we are going to be collating them and putting them in envelopes and getting them out. We want to mail them on Friday. So if any of you have time and would like to help us, we will have a dinner at 6 o'clock for those who are helping. And even if you don't feel like working, you can join us for dinner. We're not that way. I mean, come anyway. But we're going to be processing the newsletter, and that's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun, and the Lord's with us. So we're going to have a great time with that. That will be tomorrow, beginning at about 3, I believe. Is that okay, Diane? Anytime you want to come, there's work to do. So that's good. And we want to get that mailed out Friday. So pray that every issue that goes out will rattle people. Shake them up. Amen. There are fearful things happening out there. And we all need to know what is going on. The Apostle Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. There's no great honor in ignorance, is there? Do you ever hear these people say, well, I'm an agnostic. Well, that's nothing to be proud of. That means I don't know. Gnosticism, of course, is knowledge, meaning you know. Put an A in front of it, and then the G is pronounced also. Agnostic, it means I don't know. I don't know. And there are people who are willingly ignorant. But I'll tell you what, we need to wake people up with the Word. And by applying the Word of God to the things that are happening all around them. Another thing I want to do is pray one more time as we go into the Word of God, but I'm going to pray a special prayer, and I'd like you to help me with this, because today happens to be a witch's Sabbath. There are 8 of them every year. This one is the autumnal equinox. Now, you may not have noticed it, but summer ended at 11:30 this morning. That's when the sun was right over the equator. And of course, equinox literally means equal darkness. So there's equal light and darkness on that one day anywhere in the world. Now the witches celebrate that. They have 8 Sabbaths, and the one that is happening today is called, well, they call it the autumnal equinox or Mabon sometimes. And what they do is they'll get together under the oak trees tonight, and they will be worshiping the oak god and Mother Earth and drawing down the power of the moon and all this witchy stuff. And I think that what we need to do is pray against that, that God will block that, discomfort them. Amen. You'll also notice that President Bush, a member of the Skull and Bones, went to the United Nations. The United Nations always has a meeting on the Witches' Sabbath. Why? Because of the power that's running that whole outfit. You know, after a speaker finishes there, the chief speaker, you know what they do? They put a candle up there in the podium. That flame represents the sun god Baal. His presence on earth is in that flame. Well, anyway, President Bush got up and made a speech, and of course, he's the man who said very proudly, I am the man who makes history. And I have to take exception with that, because history is not the story of man. It's his story. His story. Amen. George Bush is not making history. God is in charge. We understand that. Anyway, he made this speech, and of course they've been beheading people over there. His response to the most recent beheading was, stay the course. No emotion. No, I'm sorry for you, or any of that. And you know, after he made the speech at the UN, ordinarily, you know, they'll make these speeches and people will applaud a little bit. There was dead silence, not one applause. He made his speech, nobody interrupted with applause, just eerie, dead silence. You know, in Kuwait, in a major newspaper there, I don't know, maybe they only have one major newspaper over there, but they declared that President Bush is not president of the United States, but he is president of the entire world. Well, I'm glad to know who's in charge. I'm glad to know we have a Father in heaven. He's seated upon the throne, and he dwells in our hearts as well. And He has given us the hope and the strength, and He gives us the courage to stand fast upon His promises. Amen. We're going to pray here in a moment. But I want to tell you why we're praying. Because the witchcraft element has swept the United States. It's everywhere. I think there might even be some among the Amish community. I see them nodding. I knew that because they told me. But there it is everywhere, folks. It's in the schools. It's in the churches. It's on the street. It's everywhere you could imagine. You know, Madonna, that singer, embracing the Kabbalah, she has a little problem, you know. She's over in Israel. There she is in the Israeli state, and she's wanting to consult with the head Lubavitcher over there in charge of the Kabbalah. Of course, the Lubavitcher is a high rabbi. And the problem that she has is, according to the Jewish tradition, no woman can use the Kabbalah. So here's these high-profile women like Madonna thinking, she says, call me Esther. She wants to be called Esther now. And she wants to use this thing, and she's real high-profile, but she's got a problem. She's run into an obstacle there. According to the Kabbalah, women aren't human. They're a sub-creature. Now, she probably would have to ignore that to try to make her system of mysticism work, but they always run into a difficulty. There's always a clinker in there somewhere, isn't there? Well, let's take a moment, and let's pray against all this witchcraft going on tonight. And I just trust that God will do something great here. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we come to thine almighty throne. And, O Lord, we know that thy power is over all things. Thou art invincible, O Lord. And I pray, O God, that thou wouldst now come against. Hear our prayer, O Lord, and come against all the witchcraft that is going on tonight in this world. This witch's Sabbath, O Lord, I pray that thou wouldst rebuke it. I come against every spell, every incantation, every ritual, all of the occult power, all of the psychic power, all of those things that are being done under the oak trees, all those things being done in the hexagram, all of this witchcraft that is being manifest, let it come to naught. Let it not work. O Lord, I pray that thou wouldst discomfit the enemy, that thou wouldst cut off all the power of Satan working with them, that thou wouldst set thy people free, O Lord, from the influence of it, that thou wouldst give us great victory over it, in the name of the Lord Jesus and through the power of thy saving blood. And O Lord, now bless thy word, I pray, and help us to hear it. And let the devil be put to flight. In Jesus' name, I break every hex, every vex, every curse, everything that would be sent against thy word, thy people, and thy kingdom. Give us victory now. Let all of their efforts come to naught. And let thy word have the preeminence. And let thy spirit flow through us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't it nice to pray from the heart and not out of a book? Well, praise the Lord. All right, we are opening tonight to the book of Acts, chapter 17. Praise the Lord. As you can tell, my voice is stronger, but it's not quite, it's a little gravelly, so bear with me. I think we'll be okay. We are opening to Acts chapter 17, and we're going to look at a subject tonight. I'm going to call this Dangerous Idols. Dangerous Idols. And we're going to begin reading in verse 1, Acts 17, 1. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. These are, of course, the names of some Greek cities. Where was a synagogue of the Jews? And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them. And three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Isn't that a wonderful thing when people can reason together out of Scripture? Because it's not a matter of what I think or what you think. Because what you think And what I think doesn't amount to a hill of beans. It means nothing. It's what God has declared. And if this book says do it, we do it. If it says don't do it, we don't do it. Amen. So we stand upon the Word of God and walk in obedience to it. Now, notice Paul went into the synagogue. And for 3 weeks, he reasoned with these people. The wounds were still fresh on his back. For we know that just prior to this, he had an incident with a witch. Kind of an interesting little thing. Did you ever have an incident with a witch? I've had a lot of them. They're all over the place. When I was in Salem, I had a few incidents with witches. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Little H2O. There's another miracle, you know. Two gases that form a liquid. Another subject. But anyway, praise the Lord. But you know, here, the Apostle Paul, of course, he had been with Silas, and there was a witch following him around. She was a woman with a spirit of divination, it tells us. And that's in the previous chapter, chapter 16. Now, it's interesting because that word divination in Latin is Vaticanus or Vatican. The word Vatican means witchcraft. Now, isn't that an interesting little thing? They talk about the Vatican and the Pope. And of course, when Pope John the 23rd died, I was watching the Idiot Lantern, you know, the television. And when John the 23rd died, Walter Cronkite sat there reporting. Remember Walter? And he said, when the Pope died, he said, the head of the church is dead. You see anything wrong with that? Who's the head of the church? Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death. Popes die, don't they? They assume room temperature. But they're not the head of the church. And that word Vatican means witchcraft. This woman had a spirit of divination. If you're reading that in classical Latin, it would say she had a spirit of Vaticanus, Vatican. Spirit. Are there any people around now that have the spirit of the Vatican? Remember Jean Dixon, the seeress? No, she wasn't the seeress of Roebuck, but she was a seeress. She was one of these so-called prophetess, you know, psychic. And Jean Dixon predicted, supposedly, Kennedy's assassination. Of course, that was very, very predictable, you know. They had to kill John Kennedy. Because the legislation they wanted to get passed, that he wanted to get passed, was going nowhere. So they needed a martyr. So what do? You hire, or you order, I should say. Of course, you do pay these people. But you order the U.S. Secret Service to kill the president. You know, the one supposed to be protecting him. And I have a copy, I have several copies of the Zapruder film. Undoctored, unaltered. Where it shows the driver of the car with a silver pistol in his hand, 45, over the right shoulder, using the mirror to aim, and blowing his head off from the front. You can see the puff of steam in front of his head. You can see the recoil. I got it all on film. It was the driver of the car that killed him. And after they killed him, all that legislation went right through without even a debate. Zip, 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 right through. All the, you know, the civil rights and all these other things and things that paved the way. And of course, I believe that in equal rights for everybody. I don't think anybody's superior to anybody else. I don't believe in a Meistermensch or master race. I just don't. I don't think anybody will ever get me to believe that. We're all human beings. Furthermore, everybody in this room and everybody else you're ever going to run into are descendants of Noah. It's just that way back there, the Lord began to scramble the deoxyribonucleic acid, the DNA, and rapid mutations took place, and some people changed color and facial features and all different things, and you had all the different races begin to come forth. But they all came from the same one. Now, there are people that would like to fight me on that, but I'm a Bible believer. In fact, I'll show you tonight in a little while where it says that. How'd that be? Amen. So, what happened is, just briefly on this, Kennedy was assassinated. Everything began to change. See, there are certain events that took place that have changed the course of our nation. 9/11 changed it when the towers came down. Now, all of a sudden, everybody is being rounded up in a computer database. Did you know they announced this morning that anybody who ever flew in an airplane in June, they're all going into this database. And they got everything about you. Everybody who bought a ticket, the airline has to turn everything they know over to the government, and they are recording your Social Security number, your driver's license, your traveling habits, just everything that they can possibly gather for all the people who flew in an airplane in June. Next month, is it going to be July? When are they going to do April? Doesn't matter. They're building this massive database, and it's all part of their control system. Because they're moving in for the kill with their one world government plans. No question about it. And because people are so wrapped up and distracted by idolatry and all of the other things that Satan lays before them, they're unable to see the obvious. We live in the realm of a confused populace. You know, conditions are really not good out there, are they? There's a lot of things that people don't like, but will never do anything about. You know, the meaning of the word popular is interesting. Popular. Popular doesn't mean something is liked. It means it's accepted, that the population accepts it. There are a lot of things that income tax is popular. People accept it, right? And the various things going on, the control, the fact that they are taking more and more of our freedoms away, putting us in these databases and so forth, people don't seem to mind. Nobody really knows what to do. And people are falling in line, lockstep, with this whole system of deception. One of the reasons why, you know, if people were not idolaters, God would speak to them. They'd find the truth. But there are people who love their idols, love their religion, whatever they are, whatever they're doing, and they refuse to let go of that. And that cloud remains, that fog is there and never lifts. Let's read on here and see what Paul did. He went into this synagogue 3 weeks. The wounds were still fresh on his back, because remember, after Paul cast the devil, the spirit of divination out of that woman, then she lost her ESP. She couldn't tell fortunes anymore, could she? The devil was gone, see? And so her masters that made a lot of money on her were mad. They had Paul and Silas thrown in jail, but first, the Bible says they laid many stripes upon them, many stripes. And then we know at midnight they worshiped God in pain, in suffering, and God shook the place. There was an earthquake. The doors all opened up. But not one prisoner tried to escape. God was opening those doors for Paul and Silas. They took the jailer who was about to kill himself. He thought they all escaped, and he would have to pay their penalties. And he was about to kill himself, and Paul cried out and said, "Do thyself no harm. We're all here." What a miracle. Nobody left. And so that very night, he baptized that jailer and all of his family, it says, straightway, right away. And they helped him. They washed their stripes. But that must have been something. Talk about pain, to have your back ripped open. Many stripes laid upon him. And it was from that incident, that miracle that took place at Philippi. And by the way, when you read the book of Philippians, remember, that book is there because these men had those stripes laid on their back and they worshiped God And that night, a church started in that area because he baptized those people. Amen. That was a church born in pain and suffering and in praise at the same time. How can praise and worship and adoration of God run concurrent with suffering, with your back ripped open? How can this be? You enter into the fellowship of his suffering and his power comes down. Amen. And so we find now that what is he doing? He's going to go and have a pity party? Is he going to feel sorry for himself? No, he heads for the synagogue. I'm going to try and help these people. I'm going to try and make them understand. It doesn't mean he agreed with everything going on in the synagogue. He didn't agree with the old covenant. The apostle Paul knew he was in the new covenant, and the old covenant was already gone. You see, the old covenant doesn't exist anymore. Some people say the Jews are under the old covenant. Christians, you're under the new covenant. No, there is no old covenant. And God has opened the door to all people to be in the new covenant. Amen. Hallelujah. So, Paul went in there to try to make them understand that. And it says, 3 Sabbath days, so for 3 weeks, he reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered. So he was explaining and demonstrating, which is what that means. Opening and alleging. Displaying, and he was demonstrating to them that Christ must needs to have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. Amen. I'll tell you this, every minister that stands in a pulpit on Sunday morning or at a podium or in front of a lectern, whatever, every one of those so-called Christian ministers is presenting a Jesus to you. But is it the one of the Bible? Or is it another one? There are many false Christs. And sometimes we think, well, a false Christ, that'd be some Hare Krishna thing, you know, dancing at the airport or some crazy thing. No, no. Every minister who presents another Jesus, different from what this book declares him to be, is bringing forth a false Christ. No matter who it is, where it is, we have to present him as he is in this book. Jesus Christ is the living word, and this is the written word, and they match perfectly. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Amen. You believe it? I do too. I stand upon that. Now, here was Paul very busily doing this, opening and alleging that this one, Jesus, is the Christ, is the Messiah, is the Savior. The one who was to come did come. They missed it. They were looking for something else. Verse 4 says, and some of them believed. Some believed. Now, don't get discouraged if you try to reach people and not everybody believes you. The Apostle Paul preached and some believed. Not all of them. Some believed and consorted with Paul. They associated themselves with him and Silas. And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. So a few from the synagogue came out, many others among the Greeks, a great multitude. It's a lot of people. Paul was preaching, God was moving, and the chief women, not a few. Well, the devil can't let that go on. I mean, this is progress, right? So now what's he going to do? He's going to do what he always does. As soon as you find the truth, did you ever notice that? God will reveal the truth to some people amongst a whole bunch of people who don't have it. And you'll see it, and you'll feel it, and you embrace it. And the power of God comes down, and all of a sudden, all guns are pointed at you. All of a sudden, you have gone completely nuts. You flipped out. You become a religious fanatic. Huh? You're off the deep end. You're around the bend. You're way out there. Huh? Because God has shown you the truth. It's always been like that. Well, the devil can't let that continue. So, it says in verse 5, but the Jews which believe not. Now, some believed. Some did not. The ones that believed not, moved with envy. What does the scripture say? Who can stand before envy? It's a horrible thing, isn't it? Moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. You ever met any of those? There's a bunch of them around. Lewd fellows of the baser sort. You know, the ones that can be suborned, meaning hired into doing, set in motion against certain people. Well, what they did is they took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort and gathered a company. The word company there from the Greek word, which also means mob. And set all the city in an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. Oh, they were hot and hostile. They were angry. Why? Too many people were hearing and believing. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying. Now watch their complaint here. They were crying. These intelligent so-called men had gone out and hired these lewd fellows of the baser sort. And now there's all of this uproar. And this is what they cried out. These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. They want to turn us upside down. Could you imagine how it must have been when I went into the city of Salem at Halloween time? And there are 50,000 witches there. And I'm out there handing out tracts and praying. Well, that could cause some kind of a little rumble, couldn't it? Could you imagine what would happen if I would go into the Amish community and begin to preach and cry out? I wonder what would happen, huh? Well, you know, if the Lord tells me to do it, guess what's going to happen? Amen. We shall see, but we move at the impulse of the Spirit of God. It isn't what we want, it's what He wants, and when it's what He wants, all is well. So, here they had this uproar. They're going to turn our world upside down. Isn't that what the Lord does? Did He turn your world upside down for you? And that's a good thing, because actually what He did is He turned you right side up. You were upside down. See, some people still think that, you know, they get these crazy notions. They say, oh, I know I'm right. I know I am right because I got my direction from above. But what they didn't tell you is they were standing on their head when it happened. Huh? The devil brings forth all these crazy things and crazy notions. So, and oh, how he loves to have this religion where people are just embedded in cement. You know, you can never get away from it. Never break away. No way out. It's this or nothing. It's this or hell. Well, I'll tell you what, our salvation comes directly from the throne of God. It doesn't come through any system or any man or whatever people have devised or put together or made happen. Salvation is of the Lord. Period. End of story. Makes me happy. Now, verse 7 says, whom Jason hath received. So they're still complaining. And these do all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. Notice how they're doing this. They're saying these people are terrible because they say there's another king other than Caesar. I got news for you tonight. There is another king other than George Walker Bush. There is another king other than King George. Now, they don't like you to think that way. In fact, did you ever notice? Let me ask you something. Let's have a little study here for a moment. What is the ultimate threat that anybody could ever put upon you? Now, some might say, well, if somebody threatened to kill me. Oh, no, 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 no. People die for stupid reasons all the time. You know? They'll die for their cause. It happens all the time. The ultimate threat is your soul. If you can make people believe that you have the power to determine where they're going to spend eternity, there's nothing they wouldn't do for you. But it's not up to a man. You see, that's why when they crowned the king of France, who put the crown on his head? Who offered him the crown? The Pope. Who could question the Pope? The vicegerent of Christ, the vicar of Christ on earth. If he puts a crown on his head, then that's God's man. You're going to do what he says or go to hell. Right? And when King Henry VIII couldn't get an annulment because he couldn't find a wife that could produce a male child, heir for the throne, he wanted an annulment, and the Pope said no. And he said to the Pope, all right, we'll forget about you, and I'll start my own. I'll declare my own Pope. Went over to Westminster Cathedral, and Westminster Abbey, rather, and found the... It was a cathedral late when he got finished with it, but he took that Archbishop of Canterbury and said, now you are the new head of the religion. So, to this day, when the queen or the king is crowned, who puts it on that person's head, that man or that woman? The Archbishop of Canterbury, the head of the church. Now, when a president is inaugurated, you know what an augur is, don't you? A-U-G-U-R? Not a augur brace, you know, the wood, you know, type thing. No, but an augur. A-U-G-U-R. It's a fortune teller. Remember Julius Caesar? Beware the Ides of March. Remember reading that in school? And, of course, I won't go into what the Ides of March is all about. That's another... It's a witchcraft calendar. Of course, our calendar is pure witchcraft. The days of the week are named after pagan gods. The months are named after pagan gods and planetary things and so forth. But anyway, an augur is a fortune teller. To inaugurate means to take omens, to be invested with spirits. Now, when a president stands up there and faces the Washington Monument, which is an obelisk, a symbol of the reproductive organ of Baal, the sun god. And when he stands up there and faces that thing and then takes omens, who's always there? There's always a Billy Graham or a Franklin Graham or some religious guy has to be there. Why? You dare not question then that he is the ultimate authority. And the implication is that if you don't obey him, you go to hell. They've all done it. How about Hitler? Hitler was no atheist. He was a Roman Catholic. The Pope said he was the defender of the faith. He gave 10% of all the money of the Third Reich to churches. But we know what he said. We know what he did. We know about the horrible things that he did, the unthinkable things that he did. You know, sometimes you look at history and you wonder, oh, it could have been so different. You know, there was one day where Hitler was wallpapering for this family in Austria, putting up the wallpaper, and a sudden fit of depression came upon him. He took out a gun, put it in his mouth, and he's going to blow himself away. And the woman he was working for came and talked him out of it. So then suddenly you have a man that caused the death of at least 50 million people. Kind of makes you wonder sometimes, doesn't it? What if he'd pulled the trigger? How things would have been different. But then again, we don't work on suppositions, and it's kind of interesting to do that, but it didn't happen. We know what did happen. But what we're looking at in our day and age right now, it parallels so closely with what Paul ran into over here. Let's read on. Notice their complaint. These people don't obey the decrees of Caesar. They drew the Roman Empire into it because of the power and the authority they could then wield with that complaint. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. To the Jew first, also to the Greek, right? Give them the opportunity to hear the gospel. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. What made them more noble? In that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. Boy, a lot of people don't do that. Not just read their daily verse, they searched daily. Searched daily. Do you realize what would happen to you if you had searched the scriptures daily? Do you know what could happen to you? Do you realize how powerful you could be in the Word? How your life would change? You know, over in England, they had this debauchery going on. Prostitutes were everywhere, gin mills everywhere, people drinking, pubs, you know. Way back long ago. And of course, when Oliver Cromwell came in and tried to impose holiness, it doesn't really work, but he did do a lot. And he came in, and there was a time, of course, the King James Bible was produced, wasn't it? And there came a time when, because of the puritanical, they like to call it, puritanical craze, you know, when everything in England settled down, the prostitutes disappeared, the gin mills all closed up, and people stayed home and they read their Bibles. They were made available to everybody. That's what everybody did all evening, every night. Their family got around, read the Bible, talked about it, studied it, every night. Nobody wanted to go and find a prostitute. Nobody wanted to go and drink and get soused. I mean, nobody wanted that. And it changed the entire country. After Cromwell was deposed, oh, they hated Cromwell because he cut the king's head off, you know. I don't know if you know that story. Gave him every opportunity. He said, look, you can be our king and we will serve you, but you are not the master of our souls. We will not pray out of the Anglican prayer book. We'll pray to God from our heart. Well, he couldn't allow that. He couldn't allow a people that were not governed by him absolutely, body, soul, mind, spirit. And so he raised an army of 15,000 men to fight. He had raised several armies, actually, but at one point, 15,000. Oliver Cromwell got a bunch of farmers together, less than 300, and they whipped the 15,000 knights. Cromwell stood up on his horse and said, he said, we cannot be defeated, for we be men of spirit. Cromwell said to his men, you will not take the Lord's name in vain. If you do it, if he did, they did, you take his gun out and blow him away. That's law, huh? That's severe. I'm just saying it happened. I'm not saying I would have done that. I'm saying it, but it did happen. And they cleaned that place up. But after Cromwell fizzled out and the monarchy was restored, of course, 100 years later, after Cromwell died, they dug him up, cut his head off. Of course, he was a corpse, you know, and put his head on a pike, and it sat there for 100 years over the House of Commons. Boy, those English are nice people, aren't they? Oh, boy. So anyway, after Cromwell was deposed, or fizzled out, then the monarchy was restored, then they had what was called the gin craze. Everybody was on it. The whole country went on a drunk. They went back to worse than ever before. You see, the power of the Word of God is so great if you maintain your life by it. These Bereans were more noble than they, those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They weren't lethargic, apathetic about it. They wanted to hear it and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. More prosperity of the gospel. Not the prosperity gospel, but the gospel prospering. Souls being saved. Lives being changed and converted and being cleaned up. So, the devil couldn't allow that to happen. Not again. And the harder he fought, the more it happened. It says in verse 13, but when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. Rabble-rousing, it's called. You know, when people have a cause and they want to get other people involved, they build the worst possible case and they go out and they get them all stirred up. Right? That's what these political conventions are. Of course, it's all a joke because the Illuminati already knows who's going to be president. And if you think that you going in there and flipping that little thing or pushing that little card or whatever you do to vote, if that's going to change anything, never has changed anything, has it? No, they already know. The best way you could spend your time on election day is not in a voting booth, but in a closet of prayer. Because God will hear you. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. Now I'm finally coming to the primary verse from which we get our title. And we'll find that in verse 16. All of this was preliminary. Now I'm just starting to preach here. This was all warm up. All right? And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now watch what happens with Paul. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Paul looked around at Athens. Every place he looked, there were idols, 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 idols. There was the Parthenon. There was the Acropolis, all the different gods and goddesses. It stirred him up. These people have all these gods and goddesses, and there's not a one of them that's genuine. You look around our country, you get stirred up. All these religions, and they don't know the Lord. They're busy with their bingo games and pie socials and ice cream socials and this social and that social. Where are the spiritual battles being fought? Right? All kinds of things going on. You know, over in Milwaukee a number of years ago, the Tavern League filed a complaint. They said that the Catholic Church was drawing so many of their customers away from the taverns into their bingo. You know, in the basement they had a bingo thing set up, and they had all the free beer and peanuts you could eat and popcorn. As long as you come and play their bingo game, see? And they put a Pabst Blue Ribbon sign, hung it right on the church by the basement entrance there. What'll you have? Full-time flavor, huh? So they hung one of these up there, and the Tavern League filed this big complaint. The Catholic Church has drawn our customers away from us to all their bingo and beer drinking and all this kind of stuff. Isn't that something? When a so-called Christian church is running competition with the tavern. Not the converting of souls, but doing the same things you do in the tavern. Except, of course, they could gamble. Isn't that interesting how, to gamble, the government has to get their cut? Gambling's illegal, a terrible thing, unless the government gets their cut. Then you can do it. Right? I can tell you and I can assure you one thing. It's going to get worse and worse until the Lord comes. What's wrong with our society? Idolatry. Do you realize how many women, and I don't know, I suppose a lot of men too, but traditionally it's been women. In the afternoon, I think it is, I don't know when they put these things on, they always used to be on in the afternoon, will sit down and watch these soap operas on television. And they'll sit there and they'll watch that, and they can tell you who was in bed with who else 2 years ago. And it's always, it's a course in adultery. One adultery after another adultery after another adultery after another adultery, and always with a guy named Derek. And it's a whole training course. And they fill their mind with this thing, and pretty soon they take it into their life, and they have to, I mean, that's life, you know? That's how it's supposed to be. You get rid of this one, you dump this one for that one, and that one dumps that one for this one, and this one is pregnant with that one from the other one whose vasectomy didn't work, and this all this kind of stuff going on all the time. And what are you going to get when you watch that stuff over and over and over, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, besides red eyes and a hollow head? Your life is going to be converted over into that kind of thing. Why do we have such a horrendous divorce rate? Why do we have such a social distemper? Why do people misbehave as they do? They've been programmed to do it, and the government's behind it. They want a society that is broken down, dysfunctional, a society that is dependent upon them for all of their handout programs, and that they have, the government's going to take care of them when they're born, and while they live, and when they die, and you need your flu shots, because we know just when the flu is going to start, and all these, sure they do. They manufactured it in a laboratory. They want this. You ever wonder why things are like they are? They have worked a long time and put a lot of money and effort into this thing, so they could bring about a society that is broken down, spiritually and morally bankrupt, one that they can absolutely control with government programs. And they'll, do you ever notice the news media, how they'll put things on you? Kobe Bryant supposedly raped this woman. Oh, and they play that thing up. And this Lacey Peterson thing. This guy killed his pregnant wife. And they'll play that up, and they'll play that up, and they'll play that up like it's a soap opera on primetime news, you know, because they want to solicit an emotion from you. Do you realize that the government wants you to react to them? You know how you control people? You do something, you say something, you bring about certain things that will cause them to react. What if people didn't react? Your program's dead. Right? So they want to continually solicit reactions from you. But you know what? The Apostle Paul says we are dead to this world in Christ. No matter what thing they're throwing at us, we just don't react. Huh? Do you know why they couldn't move their program right after World War I was over? They could not advance their program for one world government because they had made the fatal mistake at that time of not creating enough rights and lefts. There were no rights, there were no lefts to craftily exploit each other, and they could use that system. Let me give you an example. Did you know that the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of the Colored People, desperately needs the Ku Klux Klan? And the Ku Klux Klan needs them. Otherwise, they don't have any reason to exist. It's always thesis plus antithesis equals synthesis. They play both ends against the middle. They control the whole thing. They're trying to solicit reactions from you. But after World War I, people weren't reacting. Henry Cabot Lodge stood up in the Senate and preached isolationism. In other words, we don't want to be all over the world and try to rule the whole world and put our military bases all over the world. And the League of Nations was dead in the water. Because the Lodge-controlled Senate absolutely rejected the plan of Woodrow Wilson, and they had to come up with another world war so they could produce a United Nations. Sadly, they did. To ensure everlasting peace, right? Which is why I think the count now is 289 wars incited by the UN during this age of peace. All of those wars fought with peaceful bullets to bring about peace and harmony, right? And General Tommy Frank stands up and says, if there is one more incident in our country like 9/11, he said, without a doubt, martial law will come in and the Constitution will be suspended. He stated as a fact, they know what's going to happen. They know when it's going to happen. And I believe God can show us, if we'll pray real hard, when it's going to happen. God's people don't pray enough. They don't say, Lord, give me wisdom, give me knowledge. Lord, show me. What do you think knowledge is? The Bible says the Holy Ghost will show you things to come. But when will God's people cry out and travail and say, Lord, show us? You'd be surprised what he'll show you if you will.